one of you brothers, I think Brother Harton is our reader, will read that passage for us.
Deuteronomy
29:29.
While many other passages will be brought in,
the thought and lessons surround the truth expressed in that passage. Let us hear it.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God.
The secret things
belong unto the
belongeth unto the Lord our God.
But those things which are revealed belongeth unto us and to our children.
To our children
forever.
Forever.
That we may do or practice all the words of this law.
Mm-hmm. You may stop there. The Almighty God is not like inanimate nature. As we investigate nature, a lot of the great progress that are made in science, be it agricultural science, physical science, whatever, a lot of the knowledge gained have benefited us. And day by day, even the research that are going on now all over the world to find a cure for the coronavirus, it's different chemical that the scientists will be experimenting with. And man will not be coming up with something made from nothing. He will be coming up with something made by God, whatever the cure is. It will be something that God has already put here. So we can investigate nature. And nature was meant by God to be investigated, to gain knowledge, and to benefit from that knowledge. But God is not like that. The Bible tells us that God is past finding out. All the umpteen years that Jamaica existed from Columbus discovered here, it was just few decades ago they discovered that the soil, aluminum, that it can be processed and turn into metal and gain a lot of money for the island. There are many places that was rich in petroleum. Petroleum meaning comes from rock. Petrol, petros. And that lay there for umpteen years until men and scientists found out. But God is not like that. God, to be understood, he has to reveal himself. That's right. You don't just take it upon yourself. Say, look here, you know, I'm going to research God. You can research all you want until God reveals what he wants you to know about him. We must remember that. Man cannot know God without God's help. So here in the passage we are told that the secret things belongeth unto God. But the things that God revealed, they belong to us. This would have been, or this will be the third lesson. And the secret things belongeth unto God. We have had two lessons. In last week's lesson, dealing with, among other things, what effect should the secret things belonging to God have on us? That God has some secret things. Watch here now. Remember, some of these have been revealed. We have been told by the great apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul, that things that are hidden God, the Almighty God has now revealed them through his prophet and apostles. But God still has secret things. Jesus Christ told us that there are some things that he didn't know. Huh? Yeah? That passage might come up this morning. There are some things. Christ said that in respect to the time and the date of the judgment, are we all there? Jesus Christ said, the angel in heaven do not know that. Christ said, not even the Son of Man. At least while Jesus Christ was here on earth, he didn't know what day the judgment will be. I have no doubt he knows now. But when he was here, he said God didn't know. That creates some problem for the falls would have Pentecostalism. Because if there is but one person in the Godhead, how could one know something that the other doesn't know? I have not found a Pentecostal to explain that for me. But we go on. So, what effect should the secret things belonging to God have on us? That's among the things we looked on last week. We discussed then and learned that despite God's secret things, whatever the Almighty God thought proper and necessary to meet all of man's need, that is man's spiritual and physical needs, the Almighty God has revealed it. That is, despite the fact that God has secret, the Almighty God was thinking of man's welfare and reveal all the things we need to live and the things we need to know to be in a right relationship with him. And this is one of the things that 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 has in mind. Let us hear it quick again. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, passage which most of you know. Let us hear it.
According as his divine power,
as his eternal power,
has given unto us
all things addressing
unto life and godliness,
addressing life and godliness. All things we need to live, are we all there? And all things we need to be godly, God have seen to it that we have them. Even though he has secret, he has seen to our welfare. Look at St. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. In this passage, you will notice the selectivity of Jesus Christ. Let us hear that passage, St. John chapter 20, 30 and 31.
And many other signs.
Many other signs.
Truly did Jesus.
Did Christ.
In the presence of his disciples.
He did these signs and miracles in the presence of his disciples or apostles.
Which are not written.
They are not written.
In this book.
Wait, you and I do not know about them. Why? God didn't want us to bother with.
But these are written,
are written
that ye might believe that Jesus
So God gives man what man needs. In today's lesson, we will attempt to get a better understanding of, remember the two first lessons, we dealt with the secret things of God. The lesson last week and the lesson the previous week. But in today's lesson, we will try to get now a better understanding of the things that are revealed, those things that belong to us. So today will be a lesson on that, and most likely another lesson next week on that aspect. Those things that are revealed that belongeth unto us. One of ours, or one of man's deepest danger and obstacle, is that like our foreparents, Adam and Eve, are we all there? We spend so much time lusting after knowledge of divine mystery. Are we all there? And spending a lot of time on curious speculation. We want to know about some things that we will never know about. We spend so much time on those while at the same time we ignore and forget God's revealed duty for us. That's one of man's danger. In fact, let me repeat what I have just said. That one of our dangers and one of our obstacles is that like our foreparents, and in this case, I'm referring to Adam and Eve, we spend much time and much thought lusting after, desiring knowledge of divine mystery, things that God place in his business. The Bible used the term, as I've mentioned a few minutes ago, that there are things that were hid in God. That even the angels surrounding God's throne and are God's minister, they didn't know about these things. But we spend time trying to know them, not realizing that we will never know the secret of God until he's ready to reveal them. And you know what? For many of us, so much of our thoughts and action are spent on that and the things that are revealed. We ignore it. In fact, a very important passage coming up on that point. Are we all there? Look at Deuteronomy 29 again. In fact, first look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods.
This ambitious task of wanting to be like God. Let them know they can be like God. No, you can never be like God. Look what it brought Eve, and look what it brought us.
Knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit.
To make one wise. Wise like God. No Eve. No Adam. You will never be wise like God.
That's right.
So ladies and gentlemen, Deuteronomy 29, let us have it read again. The secret things
belong
unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed
belong unto us.
Belong it unto us.
Unto our children.
Unto our children.
Forever.
Forever. May I? Deuteronomy 29:29 is to be understood in the light of Deuteronomy 30:11 through 14. Very important. Very important. Deuteronomy 29 is to be understood with Deuteronomy 30:11 through 14. Say it another way, Brother Mitchell. Watch. When this was said, the truth in 29:29 was said in anticipation of the truth being expressed in 30:11 through 14. Remember when the Bible, when Moses wrote this, he didn't write it in chapters. It was just one straightforward
For this commandment which I command thee this
for
day.
This commandment which I command thee, that is the revealed things, brother.
Yes.
This one talks about the things that are revealed, belongeth unto man.
Yes.
Now chapter 30 is talking about those revealed things. In fact, one brother turned to the book of Romans. Just hold it. I didn't want to announce it from now. Because your attention, you know, let me hold it. Anyway, go on, brother. Uh-huh. The revealed things. In chapter 13, verse 11 through 14.
For this commandment.
This commandment.
Which I command thee.
Which I command thee.
This day.
This day.
It is not hidden. From thee.
Neither is it far
off.
Libra.
It is not in heaven.
It is not in heaven. Libra.
That thou shouldest say.
That you should say.
Who shall go up for us?
It's not in heaven that you have this. So who going to ascend to heaven to bring it on? Read right.
Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us?
Remember what I said, that this about God's secret was said in anticipation to this. The Almighty God is spelling out now the implication. That which belongs to man. The Almighty God preparing that to put in your life. Now, you see, in other words, this is what you should pay attention to. Read and write.
That we may hear it.
That you may hear it.
And do it.
And do it.
Neither is it beyond the sea.
Neither is it beyond the sea.
That thou. That thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea?
You know what I find interesting? Is how the Almighty God can anticipate our excuses.
That's right.
Long before we come up with them, the Almighty God knows we are going to look for them. When we try to find excuses, we are only condemning ourselves. Let's read on, brother.
Who shall go over the sea for us? And bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh.
When God says all this about who going to descend, ascend to heaven, who shall go over the sea to get it, God says, no, I remove that excuse from you. You know what? The word is
unto thee.
Unto thee.
In thy mouth.
It is in your mouth.
And in thy heart.
It is in your heart.
That thou mayest do it.
That you may do it. Brothers and sisters. That's verse 14.
Yes, that's verse 14.
Man, now you may turn down. Man, to see how in the book of Romans chapter 10. I think from verse 9. How the Apostle Paul going to apply what we have just read to Jesus Christ and the gospel. That is chapter 10, verse 6 through verse 8. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Chapter 10, verse 9.
Verse 6 through verse 8.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise.
God's righteousness which comes by faith. Think of things in these terms.
Say not in thine heart.
Don't say in your mind.
Who shall ascend into heaven?
Isn't that what we have just read in Deuteronomy here? Now the Holy Spirit is taking it and making application relevant to you and me.
That's right.
Applying it to Jesus Christ, the church, and the gospel. Applying it to the now generation. Wait, get this. Remember, when the Almighty God talk about the secret things belongeth unto me, but the things that are revealed belongeth unto you. As I've said, this was anticipating this, because the children of Israel got both of them the very same time. The children of Israel didn't have to read two chapters to get there. It was one piece of writing. You understand? But the Almighty God had to prepare them first. In other words, don't spend time on that which God has hid in himself. Don't spend time curious and speculating about God's secret. Spend time with that which God has hidden.
That's right.
And you know what? The wise God makes sure it's not far from you. You don't have to go to heaven to get it. You don't have to take the ship to get it. It's in your ears. It is in your mouth. Read, brother.
That is to bring Christ down from above.
That's right. You don't have to go up there to bring him up from above.
Or who shall descend into the deep?
Uh-huh.
That is to bring up Christ again from the dead.
Uh-huh.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee.
The word is nigh thee. Wait, that is being said to you and me, you know. The very same application that was made of this truth to the Israelite, the Holy Spirit is making that application to us.
That's right.
And the bottom line here is that don't look for excuse. And wait. When you and I deal with men and women out there, even members of the church who backslide and looking for excuse, bring them to this truth. This truth found in this passage and in the passage of Romans chapter 10, verse 6 through verse 8, being now read, is warning Christians about finding excuses. We should not look for excuses. The Almighty God has made everything ready, available. Read on, brother.
The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
What is revealed from God belonging to you, it is accessible, it is reachable, and it is available. Don't look for excuse or waste time on curious speculation. That will not stand in the sight of God. I want to deal with the fact that in the age, in the Christian age, the privilege of the church and the duty of the church is to make known God's revealed will. But that may come up in next week. The implication here in Romans 10, you understand that you don't have to go up to heaven to bring Jesus Christ and the truth or the gospel down. You don't have to go down in hell to get it. You do not have to travel far. It is right in your mouth. May I? That the Bible is so available everywhere in the world today is no accident.
That's right.
God had a direct hand in making sure that men and women have the gospel. When the Bible says it's in your ears and it is in your mouth, God is saying it is accessible, it is reachable, and it is available to every man and woman. This is what is your duty to learn, to understand, to practice, to live by. God has made it available. Are we all there? Are we all there? The revealed will of God is not hidden. The truth stated in Deuteronomy 29:29, that is the last part there about the revealed things belonging unto man, is not only truth in reference to the words of the law. Remember, the Almighty God in that passage point out to your children, etc., etc. So contextually, the Almighty God was speaking to Moses and the Israelite and their descendant. But applicable-wise, or application-wise, the truth expressed there is truth that is relevant to the entire Word of God as a regulator. That is the Word of God that has been revealed in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It was mainly for the Israelite, the law. In the New Testament, the gospel is meant for all men. And God gave it as a regulator of faith, of life, and of conduct. May I, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, within the revealed Word of God, we have the revealed mind of God, and we have the revealed will of God.
First time I saw this book on a bookshelf, I was in college then. I was just about 23, 24. And with negative curiosity, I asked the question, who can know the mind of God? I was saying, what foolishness that? That's what I was saying in my mind. But about 2 days after, because it was a college bookstore, I went and bought it. Great book. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the revealed gospel, we have the mind of God.
That's right.
Wait, I'm not saying we have the entire mind of God. No. Man can never know God. 100%. In fact, we do not know anything fully. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. I didn't hear you. You heard. The Bible tells us that we know only in part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9, that tells us. It reveals that even the things that we think we master, they are more to it than we know. We know, when it says we know in part, it means we know only partially. But the point is, in the gospel, we do not have only the will of God, but we have the mind of God with you.
Because in the gospel, the Almighty God reveals to us some of the things that he think about and brought into effect. So the business of what revealed belongeth unto us is relevant and is true not only as it refers to the law given to the Israelite, but it is true of the entire word of God as a regulator. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was meant to be a regulator of faith. It is what going to gender faith in our mind and in our life. As a regulator, the word of God was meant to be a regulator of our life. The word of God was meant to be a regulator of our conduct. That's why it was given. Remember the book of St. John chapter 20. We're not going to read it again. It was read. That these are given that you may believe. You remember that? Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22 to 25, which you know. Which you know. Let us hear it. I'll pick them up.
Seeing ye have purified your soul.
Purified your soul.
Obeying the truth.
Wait, brother, somebody didn't hear that. How do we purify our soul?
Obeying the truth.
How do we purify our soul?
Obeying the truth.
Soul cannot be purified without the word of God. But somebody said, Brother Mitchell, you're adding to God's word. It says nowhere there that about the word of it says the truth. Well, listen to the man, no, I'm still alright. Seeing you have purified your soul by obeying the truth. Read, brother.
Through the spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Love of the brethren. Read on.
See that ye love one another. With a pure heart,
yes,
fervently.
Love must be without hypocrisy, must be without dissimulation. It must be pure, genuine. Read on.
Being born again.
Being born again.
Not of corruptible.
Not of corruptible.
Seed.
Seed, but of the incorruptible. What is that?
By the word of God.
The word of God.
Which liveth.
Which liveth and abideth forever. Is the same truth which purify your soul he's talking about, you know. Now we call it the word of God. Read on, brother.
For all flesh is a grass.
All flesh is just like grass. Today we are and tomorrow we are not. And that is truth relevant to all of us. Huh? Read on.
And all the glory of man as the flower of grass.
Uh-huh.
The grass withereth.
The grass withereth.
And the flower thereof falleth.
The flower thereof
falleth away.
But the word
of the Lord endureth forever.
Now the word which he referred to in verse 22 as the truth which we have obeyed that purify our soul. If you want your soul to be purified, you have to obey the truth of the gospel. That's the same truth he's now referring to as the word of God, which abideth forever. And listen to him, he says some more.
And this is the word.
This is the word.
Which by the gospel.
Which by the gospel.
Is preached unto you.
Isn't that wonderful? I always love this passage. It is the word, it is the gospel, it is the truth. And as I've said, that the revealed things belongeth unto us refer also to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say a few more things as I wrap up? I made mention already that the Almighty God has revealed all that we need, not some, all that we need to live and to be godly. We want to wrap up this lesson with two passages. Both of them are in Timothy. One is in 1 Timothy 4, One is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let us first hear 1 Timothy chapter 4, 15 and 16.
We say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto...
That's 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16.
1 Timothy 4, 15.
Okay, go on.
And remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Read on.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel.
Okay, let me hear 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17.
And if any man obey not our word.
That's the passage. That is 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse 14 and through 17. Let us see. And if any man
obey not
our word.
By this epistle.
By this letter.
Note that man. And have no company with him. That he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Where are you reading, brother?
2 Timothy 3, verse 15.
14.
And 15.
And 15. Read on.
Yet count him not as an enemy. But admonish him as a brother.
Read.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all.
What verse you have just read there?
16.
You weren't reading the right passage. I was wondering what's happening to my brain. Truly. I began to wonder if after going to the doctor.
All right, 2 Timothy 3.
Thank you, brother. I don't have to go and see the doctor tomorrow. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14 through 17.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
That's the passage. But continue, watch here now. What are we on? We are on the fact that God's word, for the Israelite, it was the law. It was given as part of God's revelation to be the regulator of life, of faith, and of conduct. The gospel is given for the same reason. God has no other means of encouraging faith in our mind, of directing us how to live our lives and to conduct ourselves according to his desire. Here, Paul now, read.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
Continue, this is an important passage. In the things which you have learned. Wait, you see, we are excited about new things. Paul is saying the things you have learned, continue in those things. But there's another point in the verse, read.
And has been assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast learnt them.
Who you learn them from is important.
That's right.
Wait, this is not about the source. Where did it come from? Brothers and sisters, as you go into books, library, and the internet, a lot of you study the Bible. Source from which it comes.
So you need to find out what denomination this person represents.
That's right.
Is what the person saying true according to the Bible? This is why over the years I encourage men in men's training class, make sure that you study the Bible thoroughly before you turn to commentary.
Amen.
Very important. So that when the commentator is out, you would have already acquainted yourself with what the Bible teaches. So Paul in verse 15 here says that you must keep in mind and abide by the things of the Lord. But he said, take heed who you learn it from.
Right.
The source. All sorts of religious things out here sound nice and good and smooth. And a lot of times they sound so good, we take them up, hook, line, and sinker.
Read on, brother.
And that from a child.
And that from a child.
Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
You know the Holy Scripture.
Which
is able to make you
wise unto salvation.
Notice the wisdom here. The wisdom and the consideration is the one that is unto your salvation.
True faith.
The one that will guide you to know God's will and to serve Him better.
Right.
Not the type of wisdom that will make you rich and famous. Make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Read on.
All scripture is given by inspiration
given
of
by
God.
Given by the inbreathing of God. That's the word inspiration. All scripture given by the inbreathing of God. It is profitable
for doctrine.
For doctrine.
For reproof.
And here we are studying some of what belongs to us and what it is good for. For doctrine, when you want doctrine, go to the Word of God.
That's right.
When you want reproof, go to the Word of God.
For correction.
When you want to correct yourself for others, go to the Word of God.
For instruction in righteousness.
Instruction in right. When you want instruction in righteousness, go to the Word of God.
Amen.
That is
that the man of God.
Man of God. Here man is used generically. Man and woman of God.
Maybe perfect.
Perfect.
Thoroughly furnished.
Completely furnished.
Unto all good works.
Not some good work. All good work.
That's what the word of God, the gospel that is revealed, is adequate to accomplish for us. The things that are revealed belongeth unto us. I was about to mention three ways in which it belongs to us, but that is for next week's lesson. If your belly is not full, I can still feed you some more.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
But I need to stop preaching now. Yes. Belong to us. In what way? How is it that it belong to us? Next week, when we take up the second lesson on the things. Remember, we have had two lessons on the secret things of God. Today, we have the first lesson on the revealed things. Next week, we'll have another lesson on the revealed things. And at that time, I will share with you three ways in which the things that are revealed belongeth unto us. In that lesson, Sunday coming, if God is willing, we will also look on the fact that in the Christian age, the church was to acquaint itself fully, completely, thoroughly with the will of Jesus Christ according to the gospel, so that church may make it known to men and women. Today, if you are here and if you are not a child of God, if you are not a Christian, today, if you'd like to be
your repentance from sin, through your confessing Christ's name, and through you getting baptized. Wait. Sprinkling has never been but God's baptism, and it will never be. So if you are sprinkled or confirmed, and the dear saying, well, I've been baptized already. No, not in God's sight. The Bible makes it plain that God's baptism is a burial in water. Today, as we stand and sing now, you can step forward and give your life to Jesus Christ as we stand.
578. 578. 578. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Are you here today and you're a child of God who are straight, fasting, grown, and faithful? There is no